Going live now. All right, there we
Very
go.
good.
Woo-hoo. So we're back, and we've got see that big guy in the red suit. We love him, and we'd love to have him on the show, but it's not his show today. It's the John show. So John, it's up to you, buddy. Apologies to folks that tuned in at 9 a.m. We were feeding, but we were having trouble hooking everybody up on the audio. But we're good to go. John, you can take it away from here. And I will
All
follow
right. Thank
along the verses so everybody can
Thank you
read with
very
us. So.
much. Thank you very much, Theron. I appreciate that very much. So, Scott, so sorry that things are not connected. I already miss you terribly, Scott, but we will
We
try
all
to
miss you,
trudge on
John.
a little bit here. We are going to do a little bit of a recap and reminder of some stuff that we did a little while back, but refresh it so that when Scott and I can get together and talk about the next big set, it will have great context. Need to remind you of a few things. Starting in 1 Peter, we're going to be doing a survey of a discussion of the book of 1 Peter, and hopefully after that, 2 Peter coming in. And so let's just dive right back in. Today's study will be the first 12 verses of 1 Peter chapter 1, Lord willing. So let's dive in. The first section is simply the greeting of Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So, Peter, who is Peter? Peter is an apostle, one sent out by Jesus Christ. We learn so much about Peter through the Gospels. And in the book of Acts, especially early on in the book of Acts and the activities that he had, he, as an apostle of Christ, is writing to those who are dispersed in all these different areas, but they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. That section right there is pointing out the triune nature of the true deity. There is the Father concept, there is Jesus Christ as the Son, there is the Spirit who sanctifies. That is an acknowledgement of that three-part nature of God right there. And so it's going to be this discussion and writing to Christians who have been dispersed, and yet we all have this common bond together because of what God the Father put into place, what the Spirit sanctified, what Jesus through his blood saved. And the only other piece I'll point out is that there is an obedience concept that is mixed in with all of this right here. And Theron, you feel free to chime in if there's any particular thought that you have in the midst of this.
Sure, sure.
Feel free to add in.
Yeah, you know, when you, I guess there's different schools of thought when it comes to Bible study. And I will concede, and maybe this is partially my own personality, but you know, the Bible is not something I would recommend as a speed read.
Right.
And there are narratives that maybe you can kind of like cruise through to kind of get the picture and follow the narrative. But especially something like a First Peter, Romans is a definite example of that. There's a lot of depth in the message. And so, you know, you have a good discussion of Bible class, you can do two verses. I've done it before. Because there's so much depth, there's so much meaning, and there's so many layers sometimes in particular that if we just kind of blow through the reading, it's really easy to miss some of the subtleties there. And again, it's one of the reasons why reading the Bible is so enriching, because it's something you can go back to again and again. And it's not like, oh, okay, I already read this. I mean, if you're thinking that, you probably are missing something that you should be catching. And so I'm a huge fan of taking the time to really just let it speak. Kind of, don't go in with this, oh yeah, I know what this talks about, or I know where we're going with this. Just kind of let it speak to you. Let it, and kind of ponder it. I mean, I think I really appreciate Dan's insights into the idea of, well, what does it mean to meditate on the word? Well, it's to think about it,
right.
Just reflect on it, and you'll see. It's amazing what it can do. So,
yeah. Anyway,
sorry, a little segue there, but.
No, that's right. That's good. And so what's a challenge, and this is kind of like sometimes whenever we do this kind of a broadcast, sometimes we may want to slow down and really focus on a particular spot. And then other times we want to introduce some concepts. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a different pacing from one topic to the next, or from one reading to the next. What I'm hoping today is to be able to plant some seeds for, if people then have questions, hey, reach out to Scott, reach out to me, reach out to you, Theron,
Absolutely.
And then we can dive in even deeper.
On the particular
question that might be there. So someone may have some follow-up questions that says, okay, what does it mean, elect and foreign, and all this kind of stuff?
We're not gonna
cover all of that here in this moment. Bring that question, and let's dive in into a private study where we can go into that further.
We can also do a response where we say, hey, we've got some questions about this topic, and we kind of come back and we dive into that. And we've done that before, and we'd be happy to do it again. I mean, we could do it privately, so it's more interactive. We could do it electronically, distantly. We could do it one-on-one if we're close. We could find somebody that's close that might be interested in studying with you. So there's all kinds of options. And we're one thing I would love to see more of is post questions, post topics, things that – especially if you've got some verses you're struggling with, let's look at them. I mean, it's God's word. Right. Let's just let it speak. And we'd love to share. I mean, that's what we're about. We're not here because we have some doctrinal thesis that we're here to defend and shove down everybody's throat. I mean, we're just looking at God's word and saying, wow, this is pretty amazing stuff. Let's let it speak, and let's study it together. I mean, that's really where we're coming from.
That's right. So whether it's that subject or here is this recognition of the triune nature of God, whether it's that subject, or if there's this question about, hey, wait a minute, obedience? Really? Where is that peace in obedience? Whenever it's also talking about grace and peace be multiplied to you, how does that balance out with each other? All of those things could be offshoot questions that, if we plant the seed that causes you to have a question, then bring that question, and we'd be glad to study further with anyone who has questions along any of those topics. Well, let's dive into verses 3-5. And again, what I'm going to do, Lord willing, this morning is simply touch on some different pieces here in these different sections, raise a few ideas with it, and if that sparks further discussion, that's going to be a great thing to encourage more study of God's Word. So, verses 3-5. Theron, can you read off of the screen and whatever you've got going? And if so, would you read 3-5 for me?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yeah, in fact, my audio is the best, so it might not be a bad idea.
Good.
Yeah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Well, last time I was talking with Scott about this, he was like, that's got so much in it.
Yeah, that's a those are loaded verses, right? A lot to think about. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. But God the Father has bestowed great mercy on us through Christ, because through the resurrection of Christ,
mm-hmm.
through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we have the hope of salvation, the hope of heaven, which will be revealed in the last time. That's what this is all about. That's what everything is all about. That's the good news of the meaning of gospel. That is the gospel of Christ, is that though we are separated from God by sin, God is so merciful, he sent his son. His son was loving us so much that he submitted to the Father's will, being sacrificed, but then was raised from the dead, and we have an inheritance. We have something that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, unlike anything in this world. And God's power is going to bring about our salvation, and that will be revealed in the final judgment.
Yep. Okay, great.
So keep diving into verses 6 and 7 then, Theron.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Here, let me pull them up so we can all read them together. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so what can we rejoice, have joy?
Mm-hmm.
It is because we have that assurance of salvation. We know that the end result is what God's power is bringing about through his mercy. We have that salvation that we can look forward to, and so we can rejoice, even though in the present time, in the flesh, we're going through various trials and difficulties and temptations and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes life right now isn't fun.
And sometimes,
whether that is problems that we've brought on ourselves through our own sins or trials and difficulties that other people bring down upon us, sometimes life in this world isn't fun and we are being tested and we're being tried. Well, either those trials break us because we're not truly in the faith and relying on God the way we should, or those trials for those who are faithful do what for us?
Well, they test our genuineness, right?
That's right.
And then, you know, sometimes I think we read these verses and we think, well, for one thing, I don't think anything that we're experiencing now compares to what the recipients of this letter, the initial recipients, were experiencing. But I think sometimes we go through things on this side of eternity, and we just kind of like, well, maybe a little less fire would be okay, you know, maybe a little testing, you know, maybe a little less of that fire though would be good. But I mean, this is a powerful lesson that says, you know, as we learn and endure, it tests us, it proves us, it purifies us. I think it helps make us realize that this side of eternity is not the side of eternity that we should be craving. We want to be on the other side, and this helps speak to that.
Right. That's right. And the refining of gold, the refining of any precious metal, is through fire, which is through a difficult. That's the illustration that's used as far as the difficulty or the harshness of the reality of the environment in order for that purifying and refining process to take place. So this world is not my home. I'm just passing through, as the song says. We've got to be thinking about the fact that, yes, the scriptures say all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, and yet that doesn't mean God's promised us a rose garden. Well, and an easy life in every part of what we're going to experience here in this time. Now, the result of this, though, is our genuineness of faith will grow and develop. We will be purified more and more. And the ultimate result, though, the ultimate purpose is it's supposed to be bringing praise to Jesus. It is supposed to be giving glory to Jesus as the Christ and giving honor to him. And in the ultimate revelation of Jesus in the final judgment, he will be worthy of all praise and honor and glory.
Yeah. Wow, that is not worldly thinking either, is it? Right?
No.
I mean, we look at like martyrs and people that persecute or suffer persecution. And, you know, we want to put them up on a pedestal. And the message here is that you go through all these things not so that you can receive praise, but you can give honor and put Jesus on the pedestal. And that is not an earthly message.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And yet when we see final judgment and we have been saved from the mortal, temporary, fading aspects of everything in this life, but we see that the entrance into heaven is now revealed. Jesus as our sacrifice is so worthy of praise, glory, and honor because of the reality of what we're going to be entering. So that's a great thing to think about, to refocus our minds so that our minds are not conformed to this world, but transformed and thinking about things the way it is truly the proper perspective. Let's dive into verses 8 and 9 then, Theron.
Okay, sir. Let's see. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now that very much speaks directly to us.
That's right. So these were exiles. They'd been persecuted in such a way that they were dispersed into different regions. They were suffering that kind of persecution or whatnot. But these were also believers who were not firsthand eyewitnesses. And they were relying on the eyewitness testimony of Peter and others. And Peter's going to speak to that later in his writings. But these were folks who believed the eyewitness testimony, but hadn't had firsthand experience with Jesus in their own lifetimes. And yet they love Jesus, and we need to love Jesus, even though we haven't seen him either. But they love Jesus because they believe in the message, because they believe in the scriptures of old that prophesied all these things, and they understood and knew the testimony of those who had seen those fulfillments. And so they love Jesus because they believe in him, they believe in the message, the good news, and from that love and belief comes the joy and the peace that passes all understandings, as is talked about in Philippians or whatnot. There's this joy and there is this peace that can come because our faith, the outcome of our faith is going to be the salvation of our souls. So he's speaking to these who have really latched on and have really appreciated the true faith of what Jesus has done, the fact that Jesus has fulfilled all these things, the fact that God has raised him from the dead, and the fact that we are saved and bound for heaven. It's a beautiful thing to be encouraged and reminded about those things.
You know, it's hard to imagine two verses that I wouldn't want more to describe me as a Christian than these two. There may be some, but boy, these are up there if you stop to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, though John has not seen him, John loves him. Though John did not see him, John believes in him and rejoices with a joy that is inexpressible. I mean, put your name in there and see if it fits. Boy, you should have wanted to, though, right? I mean, because our faith is not just meant to be, you know, we avoid some stuff we shouldn't do. I mean, it's a lot more
It's less mundane, but it's much more powerful than that, right? It is meant to be transformative. As Peter refers to it, like born again. I mean, it's not like the old life. It's a new life. It's that much different, right?
Right. And so when I'm getting caught up in thinking too much like the world and being too worried in the world about material things or whatever like that, I need to be reminded by looking back at these passages and recentering my mind so that I can get back to the joy. Maybe not happy like the world thinks, but joy and peace, because this is what it's really all about. And so to be reminded and be resettled into this is what it's really all about. When Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, don't be anxious about what you'll eat or what you'll wear, those types of physical concerns, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, getting back into that mindset is important for us to get back and be recentered.
Yep.
Indeed. All right, well, let's dive into this last set of verses 10 through 12,
okay,
and see where that is, and make an application or two of that, and that'll set us up for next time with Scott.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, I can almost get it all on the screen, but not quite. So, all right, so concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look.
Okay.
There's some food for thought.
Yeah. So concerning this salvation, what God now has given to us when? As of the first century when Peter is writing here. Okay. So this salvation that Peter was eyewitness testimony sharing with others, and others were believing, and the rest of the apostles and the rest of the prophets at that time. The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, they searched and inquired carefully. They were wondering what all this was about. So it's talking about back in Isaiah's time, or back in Jeremiah's time, or back in Malachi's time, where there are these different prophecies that are going on. They didn't understand everything about it. It remained a mystery to them what was going on. Now, Theron, can you do me a favor? I don't know if you can flip over and show Ephesians chapter 3 or not. We're just doing this on the fly to see what our capabilities are.
Yeah, we can't. I can. It's a little tricky, but not hard. Hold on.
I'm going to exercise Ephesians your correctly. Abilities here. Right. How's that?
So Ephesians 3, correct?
Ephesians 3.
Okay. Bada bing, baby. All right, we're there.
All right. Well, can you read start, I think it's going to be through verse 5.
Okay, 1 to 5?
And maybe 6, yeah.
Go ahead and do the first chapter. Oh, sorry, the first paragraph?
Yeah.
We can do that. Okay, great. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you have perceived my insights into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known for the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel.
Okay. Now, there's plenty to think about there, but the main point that I want to talk about is Peter, in his writings, And he ends up saying that the prophets of old were inquiring what time this would be, what was going to happen, and it was revealed to them they weren't serving themselves and they weren't going to understand everything there, but they were serving this later generation where in the first century it was all going to become clear. Mm-hmm. And so the good news was going to become clear at this later time, which became what we now know as the first century. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was the time when Jesus truly came. Peter was witness and all that kind of stuff. Well, Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 3, that this was a mystery that would later, in the first century, become understood. But verse 5 in particular, it says, it was not made known to the sons of men in other generations as it's now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets. So first century was the big reveal of this mystery that was before. The reason why I'm going into that, both with what Peter wrote and what Paul wrote, is let's make it one application. And I want to appeal to... I want to appeal to everybody that when there is a challenging concept that you haven't thought about before, I want to appeal to everyone that the reason why I'm going to say this challenging thing is let's start a conversation. So this is the conversation that I would like to invite people to have. There is a very sincere faith that's out there. That is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, in which there is a claim that a later prophet, Joseph Smith, more fully revealed and explained things, and that the teachings and revelations of Joseph Smith are a more clear explanation of the gospel of Christ, kind of an extension that the original claim is an extension that complements the Bible and doesn't contradict the Bible or whatnot, and yet gives a more clear explanation of things. And so that's either true, that the Book of Mormon of Joseph Smith are from God and a more clear explanation of what God had revealed in the New Testament and in the Bible itself, or that claim isn't true. And so the test becomes in Galatians 1, there in Paul ends up saying, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what has been preached in the first century, if there's something different, it's accursed. But if it is aligned with it, then that would be the claim that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or what's commonly understood to be the Mormons, would say. Well, I want to present something for those of the Mormon faith to consider, which seems to be a direct contradiction here. And I mentioned this last time when I was talking with Scott, but I want to be more direct with it because I looked it up in the scriptures of the writings of Joseph Smith. In the Pearl of Great Price, there is the Book of Moses. And in the Book of Moses, which is supposed to be a more detailed description of the time of Adam, of the time of Noah, of the time of that early section of the first 11 chapters of the Bible, the Book of Moses is something that Joseph Smith claims is a direct, revelation from God. In the Book of Moses, chapter 6, and you're not going to be able to pull this one up, Theron, because you don't have access to it directly.
I don't have that on speed dial. But, sorry. Yeah.
But again, this is within the writings of Joseph Smith, a later writing other than the Book of Mormon, but it's all from Joseph Smith. And so The Pearl of Great Price, Moses chapter 6, starting in verse 51, is a description of God talking to Adam. And so I'm just going to start reading it here. Let's see what this is. And he called upon our father Adam by his own voice, saying, I am God, I made the world and men before they were in the flesh. And he also said unto him, God said to Adam, if thou wilt turn unto me and hearken unto my voice and believe and repent of all thy transgressions and be baptized even in water in the name of mine only begotten Son, who is full of grace and truth, which is Jesus Christ, the only name which shall be given under heaven, whereby salvation shall come unto the children of men, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, asking all things in his name, and whatsoever ye shall ask, it shall be given you. And our father Adam spake unto the Lord and said, why is it that men must repent and be baptized in water? And the Lord said unto Adam, behold, I have forgiven thee thy transgression in the Garden of Eden. Hence came the saying abroad among the people that the Son of God hath atoned for original guilt, wherein the sins of the parents cannot be answered upon the heads of the children, for they are whole from the foundation of the world. And so there continues to be this conversation with Adam that it continues to be described. And ultimately, God himself baptizes Adam in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, all this kind of thing.
With Adam. Now,
Adam.
Okay, make sure I'm hearing that correctly. Okay.
The original Adam.
The original Adam. Okay, gotcha.
Right. And so what I want to encourage those of the Mormon faith to think about is the Bible teaches Peter and Paul both, 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12, Ephesians 3 verses 1 through 6, that those of old were prophets who ended up being given bits and pieces of revelation, but they were searching and inquiring and wondering and not understanding everything about the mystery of Christ.
Yep. Direct conflict right there. Yeah, exactly.
And Paul says, but now in the first century, the apostles and prophets of the first century ended up receiving all of this and fully understanding the mystery that was not understood previously. And if you look at all of the Old Testament, there is no naming of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. There is no direct... There's nothing whereby Adam was told, and later Noah in the book of Moses, later Noah was told to preach in the name of Jesus Christ a baptism for the remission of sins. None of that came into being until the first century when it was all put together.
Huh. Interesting.
And so the claims of the writings of Adam of Joseph Smith, not Adam Smith, I'm an economist, that's funny. the claims of the writings of Joseph Smith in the Pearl of Great Price come in direct conflict with the claims of the apostles of the New Testament about what Old Testament prophets knew and understood. And so what I'm afraid is that's going to prompt just an immediate defensiveness that won't bring about a good conversation. What I would hope instead is maybe that sparks a question whereby you say, wait a minute, let's talk with John and
yeah, right,
let's start
right,
a conversation that compares notes about what is in the Book of Mormon and the rest of the writings of Joseph Smith. How does it compare with the Bible? Is it a complement that is in agreement with the Bible, or does it actually directly conflict, and therefore we have to make a choice between, are we going to trust the scriptures from the apostles in the first century, or are we going to take this latter-day revelation, because which is true? So I'd invite anyone who is familiar with the Mormon faith and doctrine, please, let's start a conversation and see what the Bible says, compare it to what the Book of Mormon and other writings of Joseph Smith say, and see what would be true about that.
Interesting.
Okay, well, that is an unusual direction to go, but
indeed.
I wanted to go ahead and put that back out there with kind of direct quotations out of Joseph Smith's writings,
right,
so that people can start to think about it and we might be able to have
conversation. Yeah, it's not misquoted. We're not mischaracterizing it. So you can go and say, no, this is actually what it says. So, right, so nobody can accuse us of trying to somehow use it out of context,
right.
That's actually what it says. So, yeah.
Well, and I'd be glad to look at other parts of the Book of Moses and other writings and get a clearer picture about things, doctrines and covenants, Book of Mormon, whatever, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's
have that conversation. That would be good for us to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that is getting us to, that's a bit of a review of something that Scott and I talked about before, gave some more information behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to be able to get directly with Scott sometime soon, and
yep.
the next time we talk with Scott, we're going to be getting into the rest of chapter 1, and Lord willing, all the way through verse 12 of chapter 2. So, Scott, you're on notice. That's going to be the chunk
right,
that hopefully we'll be able to talk about.
That sounds great. Yeah, I'll be in New Orleans next Saturday on my way coming home. And unfortunately, Gunther, who was hoping to watch, maybe gave up after the first effort.
I got you.
Normally would be there, but he won't be able to make it, so I won't get to see Gunther. So, looking forward to the next time we can get together.
Well, thank you again, Theron. I appreciate all your support, and I don't know this technology stuff to be able to get this going. So you're helping with it, and also your comments and help with the readings today makes a big difference. I appreciate that very much. Look forward to continuing to work with you when you're available.
Yep. Yeah. And so in the future, what we really hope to have is that we're all on a live video feed. And most importantly, the audio is very clear. That's the thing we want more than anything else, is to get good audio, because that's the thing that everybody ultimately will be listening to. You don't really need to see us, but the key is that you need to hear us so we can have that conversation together.
And, that's right.
But the one thing I really love more than anything else about this particular format is we can bring up the scripture verses as we walk through them. Now, I love that. If
that's
any
right.
one thing here is something I really appreciate, it's we can put the verses up and we can share them with our audience and we can walk through them together. We can just let it speak. And that's what we're about. So I love that aspect, if nothing else. So
that's great. That's great. Well, thank you again. And Lord willing, we'll be able to get back on here sometime soon and continue a study of 1 Peter.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm just realizing now I need to add like a thanks for watching screen. I don't have one yet. I need to add that. So. All right, folks. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We're signing off.